Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey, Chicago, what do you say? It's the CHGO Cubs podcast presented by DraftKings, America's top-rated sportsbook. Make sure you download the app. Use the promo code CHGO when you sign up. Happy Wednesday. Hello, Cubs fans out there. Cody Del Mendo, Ryan Herrera. I'm Luke Stuckmeyer. Make sure, we hope you're watching it live on YouTube. It's the best way to ingest our experience, if you will call it that. So subscribe, give us the likes, five-star reviews. We appreciate that. If you're listening podcast form, make sure if you're a Spotify person, we appreciate the five stars. And most importantly, right off the top, tonight's the night. This isn't the only time we'll be hanging out with you today. Tonight, Wednesday night, 8 o'clock, if you are a diehard, we will be with you on the first ever virtual happy hour presented by Goose Island. Got to be a diehard, so make sure you go to allchgo.com right now and become a diehard so you can join us tonight. We're going to hang out from 8. We'll see how long it goes. We're going to hang around, drink Goose Island, talk Cubs. You can ask questions.
Yeah, and like, you know, maybe you like Corey and Brennan a little bit more than us three. Well, they'll be there too.
Yeah.
All of us, and Jared will be Jared there. Will be so there.
The whole Cubs crew, anyone you've seen on the show is going
to
be there.
Or listen to, however you do it. Hopefully you're watching on YouTube more than anything else. But, so I'm excited. Our first one. We get to see face-to-face the people who yell at us sometimes.
Yeah.
I'm excited.
Everybody talking from their living rooms and basements.
Yeah.
Just see what it's like.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be interesting because it's sort of a Zoom-like setting, right? But we've never done it before.
Mm-hmm.
So there might be some, you know, hang with us if there's some technical difficulties or people are talking over. We're just gonna hang out. I don't expect it to be perfect.
Yeah.
I expect it to be fun.
Yeah. It's all we care about.
And I'm hoping Michael Collada, please, if you are a diehard, if you're not a diehard, do it because we all want to hang out with you tonight.
I would like to put a face to the name Michael Collada, but anyone that hops in the chat with us is obviously become a diehard if you're not already. And join us for the happy hour tonight.
Absolutely.
Barbara says, when you're out with Stucky, your money is no good. No, this is everybody drinking at home on their own. But that's also not true. I don't ever pick up the tab. Almost never. You know, like, pick up the donuts.
You definitely got to, like, you know, someone's got to be like, someone else want to, I'll Venmo you. Like, I'll wait for someone to say that. And if no one does, then, then I'm like, all right. I'll do it, but someone's got to Venmo me.
The guy that you go out drinking or the friend that you go out drinking with that says, I forgot my wallet, I'll get you next time, never, ever gets you the next time.
No.
That never happens. Once somebody says, I forgot my wallet, you can just say, well, forget it. I'll pick it up. Whatever.
Well, the thing is, like, at that point, it's just like, take out your Venmo, like, just Venmo me or Zelle, whatever you use. Because, like, one, like, who forgets their wallet nowadays? But then two, it's everyone has like Apple Cash or whatever you call. I don't have it, but I don't forget my wallet.
Yeah.
But everyone has the Apple Cash or whatever it's called, Venmo. They have all these different ways to pay for their share of the bill.
You know what I hate is when they do that thing where they touch their pockets like they're not sure if their wallet's, and then you know if your wallet's in your house.
Right, exactly. 100%. You knew before you walked in the door. You think we should put an invite out to a naked guy?
Seriously, naked guy next door, I'd love to get to know naked guy.
Not that I want him to join the virtual happy hour naked.
Absolutely not.
But
we'd, you know,
it'd be interesting to get to know him a little bit.
We'll put like a sign on the porch being like, join the happy hour tonight, in parentheses, with clothes on, please.
Right. Like, come fully clothed. And that goes for everybody that's a diehard too, please. Clothes, especially pants. We appreciate that.
I like Corey's comment here. He says, I know there have been some CHGO takeovers at the Bulls and Hawks. Are there ones planned once baseball season starts up? And Yeah.
I can't wait.
Well, we don't have it on the calendar yet, but yes, we're planning on doing them this year.
And we'll be a little bit different because we did the tailgate for the White Sox game last year. But obviously at Wrigley, can't exactly tailgate.
But
unless like we go hang out at Corey's house or something, but
we're just trying to figure out. You know, we've obviously teamed up with Goose Island, the official beer of CHGO, and so like, will we go somewhere where we know, you know, we can get 312 on tap and do it there? Are we going to end up at Corey's house? Are we going to, you know, we'll see. But we're definitely going to do them.
We're definitely doing them. Yeah, I don't know how we're going to do them, but we'll be doing them.
And this won't be the only, if for some reason you can't make it tonight to the virtual happy hour, it won't be the only virtual happy hour we
do. Oh, yeah, there'll be more.
There's more
coming. They'll let the Bears do them, like, Bears guys do, like, 5 of them by now, right?
It's a perk of being a diehard. Like, these aren't going away. This isn't the only one. They're going to keep happening, so.
Absolutely.
Make sure you're a diehard. Hop in with us. If you're not already a diehard, go do that. Let's have some fun tonight.
Barbara says after party at Corey's house. Yeah, let's go.
We'll have to see how that all plays out. So
he's probably listening right now. Like, what are these guys doing?
we're going to talk off-season grading for the division for baseball today. We've seen some posts out there. We've got our own ideas about it. We're also going to talk about, by the way, speaking of dates, there's dates for streaming games this year. You know how the old guy feels about that stuff. You know, I don't have to tell you. It's not good. We're going to talk about position evaluations. Yesterday, we talked about DH. In this episode, we'll be talking about left field, what that means for the Cubs, strength of position, yada, yada, yada. And we got some good times coming. So let's get right to the talk about off-season grades. We've kind of talked about it before as like what we see for the Cubs. But The Athletic went around and they talked to a bunch of their reporters that cover the teams, the beat writers, and they put out a grade for every major league team. They gave the Cubs a B, which I don't want to put words in your mouth. I feel like it's a fair grade. Yeah. It might even be a little optimistic. You know, at one point I was like C plus, B minus. I think the Mancini moved me up to a B. You know, if they had signed two shortstops, which was a pipe dream, then I would have said A. Or if they would have gotten one of the absolute frontline starters, I would have said A. Or if they would have had a Abreu at first, I probably could have bumped him up to an A minus. But that's why I'm at a B. The thing I found interesting was how they graded them compared to the rest of the division. That's what I found fascinating. Are you okay with a B?
Like you said, maybe even a little more optimistic than I would have given. Maybe like a B minus is kind of where I was at. I see the reasoning for the B, because even though they didn't raise the ceiling so much, they raised the floor a lot more than where it was at last year. Like, they have better, more reliable options at most of the positions on the field. I know there's still a few question marks out there, but they have better, reliable players that they have on the roster now than they did last year. So the floor has been risen by like a noticeable amount. It's not just like adding a couple of players. Like, the floor has risen by a noticeable amount. Whether they can, you know, blow past that floor and get closer to what their ceiling is, like, I don't know. But I think when you look overall in the offseason, like, they did enough to shore this up to, like, we probably don't expect 10 game losing streaks anymore this season. We don't expect them to be, you know, out of the playoff race by May. Like, there's a better floor for this team. This team should be better, and I guess that's when you look at what Jed Hoyer did this offseason. Like, that's where you get that B from. I'm probably maybe still more around the B minus range, but I think a B is fair too.
B minus. I saw Barbara in the chat say they're at least 10 games better than they were last year. You like that, Cody? 10 games better?
They won 74, so she thinks they can win 84. I mean,
it's not far-fetched.
You know what number? I'd say 83, but that's a different story.
You know, I said it after they signed Mancini that I can move the Cubs up to a B now, like a solid B. I do think that they didn't get the frontline starter, but Jameson Taillon is a nice addition that we think has a lot of high upside, that we think that the Cubs' pitching infrastructure and coaches can unlock that, you know, number two overall pick potential, maybe. But at the very least can be an innings eater who is a solid number three at worst. Again, pitched 177 innings last year. The big thing, especially in the first half of last year, was the Cubs really struggled with, you know, getting starting pitching to go at least even into the fifth inning. When that happened, we would celebrate it like they won the World Series. So you got a guy like that. You got Swanson, who now up the middle defense is elite. We've talked about it at ends. Also, he's a leader. He, you know, he's the, I don't want to say he's the new face of the franchise, but he is an impact player, and he's at a position that the Cubs absolutely needed and that we ranted and raved that the Cubs absolutely better do this, and then they did. So that's a great move. I think Bellinger is a great upside move where, you know, the ceiling is MVP level and the floor is, you know, what he is now, and you're hoping that you get somewhere in the middle. Either way, he's great defensively, and you shored up a defense that is not, that wasn't good last year. So, yeah, I mean, I think a B is solid because they shored up depth on the starting pitching end, and their lineup, whether you like it or not, it's still better than what it was at the end of last year. So they got better, and they have the potential to, you know, I would say the ceiling for this team is 88 wins, and the floor is 70. So
I think
what we're going to see is, you know, how – we're going to be grading this team all season on, okay, like some adversity, how are they going to respond to it? Oh, an injury happened. Who's going to come in and step up? Like all these types of things. Obviously, this team isn't built to win the World Series, but it's definitely built better than last year. Mm-hmm. So, and you got prospects coming up. I know that has nothing to do with the offseason and free agency, but that will affect how the team plays as well. So I think overall, yes, it could have been better. They could have got a Rodon. They could have got two shortstops, like Luke said, but a B is very solid. A lot of people are saying this is like an underrated offseason. The Cubs had a more underrated offseason than some of these other teams that people were talking about, like the Mets, the Padres. And, like, in a way, I agree. Like, yeah, going into the 2015 season, it's not like the Cubs made a huge splash that, like, won the offseason, as people say, outside of signing John Lester. They made trades like trading for Dexter Fowler. They traded for Miguel Montero. They did a few other things. It kind of went under the radar then too. And I think the projections for that year was probably right around what they are going into this year. I'm not saying 2015 is coming back around here for the 2023 Cubs, but I'm just saying that, like, we've seen it before. Perhaps they outperform those projections in 2023.
Shane in the chat has a comment about 500, right? Like, he's calling it 81 and 81. I think that's the key number in that it – I believe if they don't reach 500 at the end of the season or above, the season is most likely a failure. Mm-hmm. And I think it's like, it's probably the most realistic. If you just had to take a number and say 81 wins, like that is a very realistic. I don't believe somebody outside of Chicago should look at the Cubs and think that they're not going to win at least 80, 81 games. With the current roster they have, obviously injuries and all those things can happen, and that's why it would be a disappointing season. But I think at the very minimum, they should feel that they need to at least get to the 500 mark this season. Yeah. That should be their – postseason is one thing, and that's obviously a goal for every team, and it should be for the Cubs. But getting to the 500 mark – has to be something they want to do.
I would say the 80, if they win 80, if they went 81 and 81, would I be disappointed in a way? Sure. But also it depends on how things play out. Like if they call up some prospects and they show to be very productive and give you a good outlook on the future, then perhaps I won't feel as bad about it. If they go 81 and 81 and the prospects show out, but some of the free agent signings don't work out, like Bellinger and, you know, Barnhart and, you know, all these, some of these other smaller ones, then I guess that leaves me a little, you know, a little disappointed, because it would be two consecutive off seasons where Jed and Carter have honestly failed on the free agent market. There's a lot of like, oh, well, if this happens and, you know, what, like, it all, again, it just depends on how things play out, because, again, 81 and 81 is better than last year. And, you know, I know we're the Cubs and they should be in it a year in and year out considering how much they're charging for tickets. But we all know that, like, they're really going to start to be part of, want to be part of, like, that contending World Series once guys like PCA and some of those other high-end prospects come up in 2024. Like, everyone knows that 2023 is, you know, the expectations or the ceiling is, oh, well, if these things happen, maybe they can sneak into a wild card spot. Maybe if, you know, some injuries happen to the Cardinals, maybe they can win the division. But, like, there's not a lot of high expectations. I think that expectations will be much higher in 2024, 2025.
Yeah. I think it gets interesting when you look at the grades of the division. So the Cubs being the B isn't really the surprising part of...
You don't want to start the fun one, Luke?
And Fish Slayer in the chat says Cubs would have an A off season if they could extend Nico and Hap. No, we're not going to start with the other team in town. Within the division, okay, the other grades were the Pirates with a B, just like the Cubs. We'll talk about that in a second. Cardinals, Brewers, and Reds, all C+. So the people covering these teams around the country all think that the Cubs had a better offseason than three of the teams in the division, and the same as the Pirates. Here's where it gets interesting. The Pirates this offseason added Andrew McCutchen, Rich Hill, Austin Hedges, Carlos Santana, Vince Velasquez, and some other. Ben Cherington is their GM, right? They spent how much money? $30 million.
Yeah, it can't be that
probably
much,
not much, because
right?
None of those guys are expensive.
The Cubs went out and got you Dansby Swanson, Jameson Taillon, Trey Mancini, Cody Bellinger, Eric Hosmer, Drew Smyly, Brad Boxberger, etc. for $300 million. Mm-hmm. One team spent $300 million. The other team spent $30 million, and yet somehow they're getting the same grade. Yeah. Now, I look at those names on those two lists, and I would never give the Pirates a B for that. I understand the expectations and the finances are different, and so maybe it's $30 million is more to the Pirates than $300 million is to the Cubs. I just don't see the addition of names on that list for the Pirates being a B. I would put them in with the C+, just like every other team in the division. Yep. In my eyes, the Cubs clearly had the best offseason in the division. Yep. And it's a, when I said we talked about 500 being a mark where I'd be disappointed if they weren't 500, I'll be even more disappointed if the Cubs aren't ahead of the Pirates, the Reds, again this season. If you're going to tell me that the Pirates had a B, okay, the Cubs finished ahead of them offseason. Last year, if they're not ahead of those two teams again, something has gone drastically wrong. In fact, if they don't catch the Brewers, I'm going to be disappointed. The Brewers have great starting pitching. Not arguing that. But what did the Brewers do this offseason? They added William Contreras by trade, and their biggest free agent signings, Brian Anderson and Wade Miley. If the Cubs had added Wade Miley and Brian Anderson as their two biggest free agents, people would be revolting at Clark and Addison. Yeah. It would be, if you think it was bad now, imagine if that was your offseason. So I don't see how you could possibly say the Brewers have had a good offseason.
They haven't. I mean, the William Contreras trade makes me very annoyed because the A's literally, I mean, it makes you feel like the Cubs should have been part of that, considering the prospect depth they have in the organization and how the Braves just got Sean Murphy for, you know, what? However you look at those prospects.
But does he fit their mold as a catcher?
I don't know. I don't know enough about
his
William
brother
Contreras.
Didn't clearly.
Yeah.
So I don't know if he's that much better defensively than Wilson. Yeah. I couldn't tell you, but I know that they went.
They improved offensively, getting William Contreras at the very least. I'll give them that. But as I've said many times, the Brewers they got like you said, Luke. They have great starting pitching, but they go as Christian Yelich goes. And that's why they fell apart in the second half last year, and that's why they fell apart in the second half the year before, even though they made the playoffs. They had such a huge lead, but they were awful at the end of 2021 too. And that is why I said last year they weren't going to make the playoffs, and they didn't make the playoffs. So, yeah, now they're at a point where, okay, they got Burns and Woodruff coming up, going to be free agents soon. Got to figure out who you're going to keep because you're paying Christian Yelich all this money. Mm-hmm. And they're small market. They do not act like, you know, some of these bigger teams around the league. They're definitely in a position where I could absolutely see them selling in July. I mean, they sold Josh Hader whenever they were in first place. Like, I would not be surprised to see them sell. But obviously it depends on how good they are. And I do think that they'll be a competitive team. I do think that they won't be an easy team to go up into Milwaukee and win a series every time, or if they come to Wrigley. But they definitely don't give me any fear. There's no fear from that team unless Christian Yelich gets back to MVP form in 2019, man.
I think any fear comes from that starting rotation. It comes from Corbin Burns, Brandon Woodruff.
Well, yeah, those Freddie guys are good, but they don't score runs. That's the thing.
But the thing is, if they're stopping you from scoring runs, and then do the Cubs have the pitching to make up for? That's only, I'm saying, the only fear. Like the lineup doesn't strike fear unless Christian Yelich kind of regained some of his old MVP form, but it's the pitching staff that's gonna keep. That's where the Brewers are gonna you know, sink or swim. Is can Corbin Burns, Brandon Woodruff, can Freddie Peralta stay healthy? Like all those guys. I mean, but you got Eric Lauer, Hauser, Aaron Ashby. Now you got Wade Miley into the mix. Like those are they still have one of the best starting rotations in baseball, and that's where they didn't build the offense like they should have, but they don't really have holes in that rotation.
And we do question what Ryan's saying, too. We also do question if the Cubs have enough offense. Like, we all agree that they could have added a much bigger bat still to this team, like a middle-of-the-order big bat this offseason that they didn't do. But the Brewers have better pitching than the Cubs, starting pitching than the Cubs do. But the Cubs have closed the gap a little bit. The Cubs, I believe, have much better defense and have better offense than the Brewers do. So I believe at the end of the season, or I should say after the All-Star break, the Cubs are less likely to be full sellers than the Brewers are. I'm just not sold on their team. So when I look at those offseason grades and I say Wade Miley, that makes me feel good as a Cubs fan. If I'm out there just looking at it and saying, who are the teams ahead of me? The Brewers didn't take a big leap ahead, and I don't believe last year if you had healthy guys, if you had Miley, if you had Smiley and you had Wade Miley healthy, I think you could have been at least in the mix with them. Like, the season could have been better for the Cubs last year than it was. It wasn't because it was a lot of what-ifs, but the Cardinals, okay, they've added Wilson Contreras. We all know what Wilson is.
Yeah.
They have the two best players in the division, but they didn't add some massive haul in the offseason. They didn't have a huge offseason either. So that's why they got a C+. Yeah. If you look at the rest of the division, the Cubs may have only had a B, but I definitely think they had the best offseason in the division.
Well, the Cubs had the most holes outside. I mean, that's depending true. On the Reds and Pirates and how their front office views their come up, but also their small market and their ownership sucks. The Cubs had the most holes between the Brewers and Cardinals, at least, and so they had to go get some guys, some proven guys, to go into the lineup and shore up the defense, of course. Of the other two teams, though, I am surprised. I'm still surprised that they decided to go get Contreras instead of go get a top end rotation arm. Again, they could trade.
They probably will. Honestly.
And I won't be surprised when they fleece some small market poverty franchise again. And I'm going to be upset and mad about it. And that's that.
You can count on that. Put your money down on DraftKings.
I still don't understand.
That's going to happen.
Yeah. I still don't understand them getting Contreras, considering who was their catcher before. Their offense is going to carry them. And their rotation, despite the fact that it's still sus, it's still good enough to win the NL Central. So, yeah. Them getting a C+, they added the best offensive catcher in baseball. But, again, the Cardinals don't even scare me. It's like if the Cubs can find a way to slow their offense down any at all, they can compete with that team.
Yeah.
So
I think there's reason to be optimistic for the Cubs in the division, and, I mean, that – I would say they probably had the best offseason in the division.
They closed the gap a little bit.
Which is why their grade was higher than Cardinals, Brewers. There's definitely a good reason to be optimistic about it. It's another situation where it's like they did the right things to build the floor higher, But do they do the things that were needed to raise that ceiling and help them reach that ceiling? That's still obviously up in the air.
Design Love in the chat says, serious question. Tell me how the Cubs have a better offense than the Brewers. It's a fair question. I just don't think the Brewers have a good offense, and I think the Cubs, while they lost the home runs from Wilson Contreras, and there are question marks around guys that have to prove it, Dansby Swanson already improves the offense. For sure. You can't, like, you can say what you want about Dansby Swanson, ranking him compared to the other three big names that were free agents at shortstop. You can't say he's not a good player. Like, he's going to help them offensively and defensively. He may strike out more than you want, but he's going to make the offense better. Cody Bellinger has the ceiling of being an MVP in baseball. I know that he was not good, but that doesn't mean he can't be somewhere in between with a restart and, you know, reconnecting with guys that he was with in the Dodgers organization that are now on the hitting side for the Cubs organization. And Mancini is who he is. He's a solid hitter. Hosmer won't give you the power, but he will give you average. They've added depth offensively around this team, and you expect Nico Hoerner to have the same type of season again. And you expect Seiya Suzuki to be as good, at the very least, as he was last year. Mm-hmm. I think most people expect him to be better, but I think if you expect the consistency that he gave you last year to just slightly improve, I believe they are definitely a better offensive team than the Brewers. I'm not saying they're
light years
ahead. I think they
top
have
five in baseball and worst five in baseball. They're closer than that, but I don't believe the Brewers are built on offense. They're almost strictly pitching.
I think they have potential to be a noticeably better offense. It's just they're also relying on when you're giving up all the what ifs of can Cody Bellinger find something? Can Eric Hosmer find something? Can Nico Hoerner repeat what he did last year? It's like you have a lot of what ifs. Like if this happens. Whereas the Brewers have kind of been what they've been the last couple of years, haven't been like a top tier offensive team, but haven't been like terrible either. So I think right now it's like I would lean more of like saying they have the potential to be like they have the pieces to be a better offense. It's more of like a prove it kind of thing on the Cubs side.
If you had to wager, who's going to score more runs this year, the Brewers or the Cubs?
I'd probably put it on the Cubs. I wouldn't put my house on it.
I wouldn't put my house on it. I'd sprinkle a couple of Cody Jordans on it.
I'd probably put it on the Cubs, but I can also see a scenario where they have actually like their offense struggles or obviously guys get hurt and stuff like that. Like there aren't enough sure things in the Cubs offense for me to say like they will 100% be a better offense than the Brewers by the end of the season.
I agree with that. I can't say it 100%. Yeah,
but I see where you're coming from and that they have the potential to be, and that's kind of where I land. They could be. I would lean they should be, but
Little Yumper says lots of ifs there. Yeah. Agree. Lots of ifs. Had a lot of ifs last year.
Too.
That's what I was going to say. Tell me the automatics that are on the Brewers.
I'm looking at the Brewers roster right now. All right, Willy Adames. All right, he's become a better hitter since he came to Milwaukee. But does he scare you? No. Keston Hira.
I like Keston.
He had a better year last year,
but the year before he was awful. Yeah. Like, can you get some consistency out of the guy? I don't know. Also, his defense kind of sucks.
Roddy Tellez was a good
Roddy
pickup.
Roddy Tellez, he's probably like they traded Hunter Renfro, but they still have him, and this guy can hit. I'll give them that. And then you also have Christian Yelich, who. I'm just being like, let's be real. Like, for the money that he is making, he is not producing at what they're paying him for. He can still be an on-base machine because they've been using him out of the leadoff spot, and that's fine. But like, that team can take that next step if he plays like the MVP player he was, and he just hasn't the last three seasons.
Just like Cody Bellinger, is he any different?
They added Jesse Winker, who was great when he was with the Reds, but he was awful with the Mariners.
Did last year, yeah.
Like that, especially then Cody Bellinger.
But he was horrible before that.
Right. Like I said, so again, Winker, he's bounce back candidate for them, just like Bellinger is for us. And they have Tyrone Taylor, who beat the Cubs a few times last year. But again, like.
And they have Garrett Mitchell, who.
Yeah, and Garrett
Mayfield. Debuted, was really good, but also
they're not the Cardinals.
Small sample.
And they have prospects like Sal Frelick, I think his name is, like outfielder, 22s in AAA, could debut this year. Someone mentioned his name in the chat. Like, and same thing for the Cardinals. They got Jordan Walker. He's a top five prospect in all of baseball. But he's an outfielder, too. How they're going to use him, I don't know, because they got Lars Nootbaar, Dylan Carlson, who the Cardinals didn't trade for Juan Soto, never forget, and Tyler O'Neill, who once hit 30 home runs. So, like, are they going to DH him? I thought, you know, Cardinals fans tell me they're going to DH Wilson Contreras. Then who's going to play catcher? I don't know. Like, there's a lot of – you don't know what's going on with a lot of teams in this division. That's why it gives me and other Cubs fans some optimism that maybe they can hang around. I'm not saying they're going to win the division. You can bet them on DraftKings at plus 650 right now if you want to get some – you want to take a flyer. Like, I ain't saying no to it. But there's just nothing from any team in this division that you're like, this team is going to run away with it. There's nothing.
No, I don't. They're at this point, like, it's not like the Cardinals will be, you know, the division winners in June.
No,
I don't think they would. If they are, then they had. And
can you bank on Arenado and Goldschmidt to have six WAR seasons both again? Like, they're great.
I think you can.
Can you bank on that?
I think expect close. It's not like they're like 35 years old and just had crazy seasons.
Well,
like,
Goldschmidt's 35 years old.
Arenado's the one that I could see doing again.
They're the two best players in the division.
Yeah, absolutely. There's no doubt. I'm just saying that 1 year older. And can you bank on both of them having six WAR seasons again? I don't know.
Trey Mancini, solid hitters, being quite like 239. First of all, I've been told batting average means nothing. He's got a little power. He was comeback player of the year. He's
I forget what he had, like a 107 or 108 WRC plus. Yeah,
he was above average.
He's a good baseball player. I just
and batting average will come back into play of being. You can take it a little bit more seriously this year because the shift is gone.
Yeah.
I expect so many batting averages for so many players to increase this year with the shift being gone. So,
and you also think about the fact that his year was affected. Not only obviously being traded and learning a new team in Houston, that kind of stuff, but then like the Orioles screwing up the wall, like moving it back, making it higher, like making it harder for pull hitters to hit. And he pulled the ball at a career rate last year, which, you know, he talks about wanting to get back to not doing that, Mancini. So all those things put together, like that all affected his, you know, WRC plus or average, whatever you want to call it. I could expect him to have a little bit better of a year at the plate. Yeah.
There's plenty of like Lil Youngper said in the chat. Yeah, there's a lot of what ifs for the Cubs. There's also a lot of what ifs for the other teams. And you can argue that outside of like the true World Series contenders out there, you can argue there's a bunch of what ifs for every team out there.
Yes,
you really can. So like, don't come at me with the there's a lot of what ifs.
Especially in the Cubs division, it's full of what ifs. It's the worst division in baseball
outside
unless
the
White
Central.
Sox are in it and they got an F. That's the end of the segment. The ComEd Energy Efficiency Program, committed to helping families and businesses in the communities we serve manage energy usage and lower energy bills now and into the future. ComEd offers a wide array of incentives on lighting and other efficiency upgrades to commercial, industrial, and public sector customers of all sizes across our territory. Customers can inquire about how to upgrade outdated lighting to energy and money-saving efficient LED lights. Learn more about network lighting to operate your lights through your mobile device or track your facility's energy usage and more. Incentives have recently increased for indoor-outdoor lighting and network lighting controls, making these projects even more cost-effective than ever before. Visit ComEd.com/poweringbiz right now to start saving money and energy. To start a project, contact us at 1-855-433-2700. For more information, email businessee@comed.com or publicsectoree@comed.com. By the way, when we start having these hangouts this summer, we might bring our Chi-Town Cornhole custom bags with us because we got some pretty nice boards here. Chi-Town Custom Cornhole, the number one cornhole provider for Chicagoland and Illinois since 2007. Our buddy Tom has a signature box style that can be digitally printed, covered in vinyl, and painted. Our cornhole boards come with built-in drink holders recessed in on the back, LEDs that light up the hole and exterior, easy handling when you got handles on the outside, handcrafted scorekeepers, veteran-owned and operated, ship anywhere and offer local pickup, specializing in corporate designs for your company's next marketing or social event, wedding gifts, gifts of all occasions, especially for tailgaters and backyard barbecues. Boy, barbecue sounds nice right now. It's a little chilly to do it, but I'm just saying, the sunshine, when you look outside and you see the sun, you think, backyard barbecue. Yeah. Could it please get here a little bit sooner than last year? Check out their website, 100%. ChiTownCornhole.com. Make sure to follow them on Instagram at ChiTown Custom Cornhole Boards. Tom, good guy?
He's a great dude.
Good at playing cornhole?
Speaking of other great people, shout out to Rachel from the UK. She tweeted some pictures today, right an hour before our show, and said she was saying happy girls and women's and sports day. And she tweeted pictures from baseball games that she's been to, and then she tweeted a picture of us three with her when she came to the office last year. So shout out to her. Wanted to give her that.
Also, shout out to Fernando, Super Chat.
Oh,
$1.99 from Fernando Rodriguez. It's about vibes and Dell Metrics, the only real numbers. Yeah, that is what matters.
I appreciate everyone who just keeps running with the bit. We're going to run this bit forever.
Yeah. Might as well.
Barbara says 8,000 odds for the Cubs to win the World Series. So you're saying there's
you're
a chance?
You're saying there's a chance. Better than what? Probably better odds?
No, I'm not. I'm not saying there's teams. A chance. I'm actually not.
Yeah.
Again,
if I waste
$10.
If I'm not going to even put a dollar on it, then that says a lot. So.
All right. So we'll just let the White Sox have their F, and we won't touch that anymore.
I threw it in the Slack yesterday, and I admittedly said I laughed a little, because if you're getting graded lower than the Rockies, that's saying something.
I believe they could have records very close to each other this season.
White
Sox probably have a higher ceiling.
You want to talk about what ifs? That team is full of them. And they're supposed to be in their quote-unquote winning window, right? So, that goes back to my point I said about, don't come at me with these what ifs, because that team especially has a lot of what ifs.
Yeah, you don't lose your best player in Jose Abreu and get better. Yeah. They spent the most they ever have in a single player this offseason with Andrew Benintendi.
Which
and you
still
got
like,
worse.
Shocking.
Their pitching is that's the one thing that I don't really know, because Lance Lynn, he's had a great career, but another year older.
Who's Giolito?
Is Giolito gonna
worst pitcher in baseball? Best pitcher in baseball? Worst pitcher in baseball?
Does Giolito need to do another guaranteed rate ad? I don't know. You got Dylan Cease, and that's always gonna make me sad. But you got the number one ace. That guy can carry a team, right? So, and then if some of their players bounce back, Yoan Moncada has to be better than that, man. There's a reason we were like, oh yeah, I'd take him, just for that bounce back ability,
Yeah.
And then obviously they need Tim Anderson to stay healthy. They need Luis Robert to be an MVP, basically, and they need Eloy to stay healthy.
They need a miracle.
They do need a lot. Again, there's a lot of what ifs, but I will say this. I think it's more likely that their what ifs work out more than the Cubs. And I'm saying that right here, live right now on YouTube on the Cubs podcast. So I'm just saying, they it can't possibly be worse than last year, in my opinion. So
I don't know if Cody's the guy on the left or I'm the guy on the left, but somebody says they're largely optimistic. Well, that's us in general. We bring vibes.
You should have been here a month and a half ago when everyone thought I was too negative. So.
You should have been here before, about a year ago, right when we first launched, when Cody thought the Cubs were going to win 87 games.
It's a roller coaster, man. It's a roller coaster.
That was optimistic.
Right? It was optimistic. And it was because we launched, and I was trying to speak into existence. But, everyone, someone once tweeted at me, said I was a brainless Cubs simp. But again, a month ago, I was yelling at Jed Hoyer on this podcast, yelling about, are you going to sign a shortstop or not? All right. I will hold them accountable. I'm not a full on homer. I am a homer, but when things aren't going well, I'm going to let them know.
I'm still optimistic that I can get Cubs Brewers tickets in Wisconsin for the cheap at Subway. That's what I'm optimistic about.
That's another thing we should do this year. We got to go to Milwaukee for a weekend series this year.
I'm in.
Wrigley North. Could be fun. All right, it's time for our position evaluations. Yesterday's position was DH. This is our second one. We're going to left field. obviously, Ian Happ is the guy in left. You have a gold glove guy who was an all-star in left field. Mm-hmm. It's another reason why when I look at the division, I see Ian Happ in left field. I see all-star. I see gold glove. I feel good about the Cubs in left field. What makes the position interesting if you're grading or evaluating left field for the Cubs is the lack of the extension for his contract. This could be his final season with the Cubs. We don't know if there's going to be an extension. We don't know if they're close to an extension. We don't know if they're even talking about an extension. So while I'm very comfortable and happy with Ian Happ in left field and thrilled with the way he added on and the player he became last season, both offensively and defensively, we don't know realistically if he's going to be there all season.
Yeah.
And so then who are the other players that will play left field this season? Either when Happ is not playing left, or if somehow it happens that Happ is not here all season, injury or otherwise. Yeah. Knock on wood.
It's like it's one of those positions where the Cubs don't have a lot of like good depth or like reliable depth, because
proven depth.
There you go. When we look at it, you have Ian Happ, who had an awesome year last year. He figured it out. He had that consistency of playing in left field every day. Like, he figured it out. But what do you have behind him? I mean, you look at Patrick Wisdom may end up being, like, the backup left fielder right now, just because he has some experience there. You know, David Ross hasn't been shy about putting him in the outfield. He's got a good arm. So that may be – he may be someone that's right there. Nelson Velasquez, if he's even on the big league, you know, the big league team to start the year – he, you know, wasn't great in center field last year. I don't know if the Cubs want to try him out there again. So he may be more of a corner outfield kind of guy if, you know, he's not just a full-time DH. So left field may be a position where he's a backup, right? Trey Mancini, actually, you know, in limited time 2022 in left field, had two defensive runs saved. But overall, he's negative four defensive runs saved in left field in his career. I don't know that you want to put him out in left field consistently, but he could probably play out there too. So those are your backups, right? But not a lot of like great backup options for Ian Happ. So,
well, when have we ever looked at left field for the Cubs and been like, ah, defense matters here? Not that what Happ did wasn't impressive and that we're not excited about it, but like, I mean, we put Kyle Schwarber out there.
Yeah, that was then. This is a team
generally where you put your worst defensive.
But this is also a team that's going to be built on defense and pitching and run prevention. Like, they don't have the offense to they don't have the offense where we're like, oh, you know what? We can put Kyle Schwarber in left field because our offense is so good. Like, we can afford the below average defense because we have such a good offense. They don't have that. They need as good a defense as they can have at every position on the field. And not saying that they have shored that up completely, but having good outfield defense is going to help this team be a better team because they don't have the offense to offset it.
Is Brennan Davis the most likely? I don't want to say addition. Is Brennan Davis the most likely back? And I want to call him backup plan. Mm-hmm. He's the most likely future of left field, potentially, you could say. But it also with an extension that could continue to be Ian Happ. If Brennan Davis is able to report healthy, as he is right now, and have a good spring, Brennan Davis could make left field interesting for the Cubs, depending on where they are in A, contract negotiations, and B, where they are in the standings.
Yeah, I don't see him breaking camp with the team. I definitely think he needs a little more time down in AAA because we know the back injury it affected him last year, but it wasn't like, you know, he didn't have great numbers when he was playing last year, and then missed most of the season with the back stuff, the back surgery, and then, you know, Arizona Fall, they only played 5 games. So I don't see Brennan Davis breaking camp with the Cubs. I don't know how quickly he may come up and what it would take as far as how long does he have to prove he's healthy? How long does he have to, you know, have good production before they kind of believe that he has nothing left to prove at AAA? I think out of all those, like, he's most likely to like make it interesting in the long run, and with Happ potentially being a trade candidate at the deadline again this year, like, there may end up being an opening in left field that allows Brennan Davis to be the starting left fielder. But that's, you know, that's still kind of a ways away. You know, if we're talking about like where we're at to start the year, that's when I come back to the depth isn't there because they don't have the major league depth right now. Brennan Davis could make that interesting pretty quickly if he is healthy and plays well.
Yeah, I mean, I just keep going back and forth on, like, do we extend Hap or not? You know, if I had to choose between him and Nico, I'd say Nico. Because you do have these outfield options on the farm and all that. But at the same time, like, you can't bank on it, right? That's what Ryan keeps shoving down my throat.
Yep.
And Hap's a switch hitter.
And he's a switch hitter. He's become a very big fan favorite. You know, and you want to talk about recent years and how the Cubs have pissed off the fan base related to that type of stuff. But I don't know. I think that you need leaders. You need proven guys. And Ian Happ has proved it over the last year and a half season that he can be a really good hitter and a very good left fielder. I just think that I would say that I would rather Brennan Davis be his backup by the end of 2023. If Brennan Davis is, like, you know, the backup left fielder, but is able to DH or be somewhere in that outfield, then great, awesome. But I assume by the end of 2023, the roster will look a little bit different. If that is the case, I just don't know who will be gone. But yeah, I mean,
so if you,
I think Mancini,
if you had to grade it,
if I had to grade it,
or if you had to put a word on it to describe it, is even more interesting, because the two words that pop into my head are solid, because Ian Happ is solid in left field. He's obviously way above average defensively last season, and he's also a solid hitter, switch hitter. But the second word that comes up is uncertain. Because of his contract situation, you don't know if he's going to be the guy that's there all the time.
I am surprised we haven't heard more, like, you know, some talk about this process, because I just don't think they want to go into spring training with this distraction, especially coming off, like, the momentum coming off the end of the year, the free agent moves they've made. Like, I do not think the, like, I don't think it's good business by the Cubs to, like, go into the, if they go into the regular season and they still haven't either traded him or extended him, then, like, you're going into the year with another distraction related to that. And, like, that has been a problem the last 3 years. You go back even further if you really want to dive into it. I'm just, like, and that's why, to me, like, I can't fully answer this because until we know what they're going to do with Hap. I feel good about the position because he's very good and made the all-star team, voted in by coaches, players, whoever does it, and he was consistent all last season. But the reliability, like, I don't know.
Here's why I believe extending Ian Happ should be a no-brainer for the Cubs. And I know not everybody falls on this side. Everybody says, well, this is where all the young prospects are. You know what you have in Ian Happ now. We've been trying to figure that out for several seasons. It took a little bit longer for him to prove who he is. He may not be an all-star every season, but if he can play that left field, which he's shown us he can now do at that defensive level, you're not going to have to sign him to an absurd contract. Pay him what he's worth. Now you have a solid outfielder that you know you have under contract. If the young guys come up and start pushing Ian Happ out of playing time as he gets older in his career, if you have him at the right contract, if you pay him what he's worth, he's still a guy you want to have on your team. Mm-hmm. He's still versatile enough that he can play multiple positions for you. He could be your fourth outfielder. He could be your DH. He could be your pinch hitter. He's a switch hitter. You can move him around the lineup. He's a great guy in the clubhouse.
Yeah.
He could be a late inning defensive replacement if that's what you need him to be. Mm-hmm. You're not asking Ian Happ, if you sign him, to be your guaranteed left fielder for 6 years. Yeah. That's not. I don't believe that's the type of contract he's going to end up getting.
That's fair.
So to me, we've been talking about how much money the Cubs have. The Cubs have the money to still let the prospects eventually push Ian Happ out of playing time. That's okay. That's what baseball's all about. That's what most professional sports are about. Mm-hmm. Guys play their position. They can do great things for you. And at some point, the next wave comes up and pushes them out. And that's when you know you have a good organization. Doesn't mean you shouldn't re-sign Ian Happ.
Yeah. And that's kind of my thing, really. Like, because of the presence he brings and, you know, his relationship he has with fans now and stuff like that, you kind of, like, especially how his career's gone, because remember, it started off good, and then it went down, you know, got demoted, all these things, and then, you know, me and Luke were questioning if he even was going to make it on last year's team before we were a thing here, but, you know, great minds think alike.
It's a prove-it year.
Yeah, it was a prove-it year, and he proved to be very consistent. And so, yeah, I think that he deserves a nice 4 or 5 year extension worth $80 to $90 million. I think that's fair. And
what did Benintendi sign for?
Somewhere around 75.
Five years, 75. So I could see like five.
He has
like
more power than Benintendi.
I could get Ian Happ that contract in a heartbeat.
Yeah, man. I think so too. I think maybe he'd probably get a little more money.
Who
maybe
he is, how
years,
you expect
right.
him to age, his versatility.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I.
He's 28.
Again.
Right? Like, yeah. He's going to be
28. Dustin's saying on Happ's podcast today that he said he doesn't want to play until he's 38, 39. No, that's what I'm saying. So. He's looking for one more contract, and if you have the prospects you think you might have in the organization in the outfield, they can force your hand. By the way, unless you give him 5 years and absolutely no trade clause, you still could get value for him later on down the road.
I will say this. You know, I remember the season-ending presser, you know, when someone asked Jed about Ian Happ, he lit up about it.
That was me.
You know, was it you? My bad.
Oh, yeah.
Good question. Sorry. And, you know.
It wasn't just somebody. It was the somebody.
It was the guy, the most important guy there. That did give me some optimism that they could get this done. But here we are in February 1st, and we haven't really heard too much. And I'm just getting nervous about it. I absolutely do not want to go in the season with this as a distraction.
I will also say that them settling – And avoiding arbitration for this year does go a long way towards mm-hmm. like there's no ill will going into the season for them mm-hmm. as far as like you know just the 1 year contract type thing where you know I know Ian Happ understands the business and what they do at arbitration meetings isn't personal, but bad feelings can still come out of those arbitration meetings. So for them to have avoided that and you know make sure those hard feelings aren't there. Just based solely on arbitration, I think that does go a long way towards if they do truly want to extend him, like Ian Happ and his team are like in a good place with the Cubs front office that those negotiations, if they're going to happen, would go a lot smoother.
Yeah.
Cody, you got a DraftKings pick of the week for us? Well, what's got you scratching that you have to be like, oh, I got to itch that scratch?
Well, we got a great college
scratch
basketball slate tonight.
I just went dyslexic on it.
What'd you say?
I said, itch that scratch.
Itch that scratch.
Scratch that itch.
Great college basketball slate tonight. I went 2-2-1 yesterday. Damn Toledo and Miami, Ohio had to push, asked for over 159 points, and they scored 159 points. Also, Indiana. What happened? How do you lose to freaking Maryland? Anyway, I'm taking the over on Providence and Xavier. Two best teams in the Big East, over 154 points. Just, you know, we'll be doing virtual happy hour tonight. This game is at 5:30. I'll be celebrating winning my over 154 tonight at the happy hour. There's going to be a lot of points in this game. And if they don't, then you guys can all just make fun of me at the virtual happy hour. So, that's what I like tonight. I actually made this bet yesterday thinking it was yesterday, but it's actually today.
Mizzou pick of the week, -10 against LSU tonight. Book it.
I actually like that, but I'm avoiding every Mizzou game because every time I keep
bet against them.
Okay, no.
The one time you bet on them, they lost. But every time you bet against them, you lose. So
you're right. That is true. Damn Iowa State can't go into Mizzou and win over the weekend. What are you doing?
Sorry.
They should. They honestly should blow out LSU. LSU stinks.
Minus 10.
When Mizzou is minus 10, there's a reason.
So. You're both wrong. It's Kansas City Chiefs plus 2 in the Super Bowl. You just take that and run.
I'm with it.
And this has been the Mizzou podcast presented by
Ryan.
We were talking about going to games in Milwaukee this year. We get our tickets through Game Time.
Take over
the stadium again. Game Time is the hottest new ticketing site that makes it easier than ever to score the best deals on tickets to sports, concerts, and shows. Ever dreamed of sitting in a seat you never thought you could? 50-yard line, courtside, behind home plate, floor seats at a concert. I just saw that the Foo Fighters are going to tour with Green Day. I'm all in on that. All in on that. Mm-hmm. That's my era. The biggest last-minute price drops can be found on seats you never thought you could buy. You won't find a better deal this season on Cubs tickets, created by the fans, for the fans, guaranteeing the lowest price. If you love CHGO, you're going to love Game Time. It's the best way to support us by buying your tickets through the link in the description. Join over 15 million people who have downloaded the Game Time app and score the best seats to all your favorite events.
if you're getting those tickets on Game Time, You want to be fitted out in the best gear, and if you're not buying, you know, CHGO merch,
dope merch,
get fitted out by FOCO. Chicago, you've already got the best coverage for your favorite teams, so get fitted out in the best sports gear around. FOCO's got you covered from Soldier Field to the living room, north or south side, with hoodies, slippers, signs, bobbleheads, and everything in between. Get decked out like DeMar with apparel from the leader in sports merch and collectibles, FOCO. Looking for the perfect gift for the football fan in your life? FOCO's got you covered with hoodies to fight that Lake Michigan breeze. It is cold right now. Check out FOCO.com or click the link in the description below. For all non-presale items, use the promo code CHGO for 10% off.
I like the fish layer. The fish layer? I
think fish layer.
Fish's layer.
The fish layer.
He says Marshall beating App State tonight. Sun Belt, Fun Belt, baby. I wish that was my burner account, but it's not.
Wow. Did you notice that the Cubs have two games coming up streaming on Peacock this season?
Oh, I'm so excited about it, Luke. Tell me more.
Here's the good news. They're both on Sundays. The first one, April 30th at Miami. The second one, June 18th versus the Orioles. That is one I know I will not be watching. That's a game I know I can mark on my calendar as, sorry, won't be able to watch it. I have a friend getting married who has asked me to officiate the wedding.
Oh,
so I have to go get some sort of certificate license.
Minister Stuckey.
Yeah,
Minister Stuckey.
That's right.
Yes.
That's right. So we'll see how that's going to go. Keep that in mind. Once I get certified, you know, you guys.
I'll definitely keep that in mind.
Might need that. I do it for cheap.
You know how I am when it comes to getting things for free or for cheap. Luke.
Anyways, two games is too many for me. I just want to know where to find.
What about Apple TV? You know they're going to come back on Apple TV.
Yeah, that's gonna. Yeah. I don't want that.
But those are still
either.
Those are free, weren't they? Like you just had to have the app or something. So that's
was it the one Peacock game that we watched the Cubs on last year? The
was it
Watch Alive game against the Phillies?
I don't
that we did
our watch along. I don't know if it was Peacock, but I
remember like I, think I had. To, I remember been, coming into been. The office early because that game was like an 11 a.m. game. And I remember, like, messing around with Jake's, Roku or whatever, trying to download the Peacock.
Okay, then that probably was Peacock.
Yeah.
Fun times. Yeah, I'm glad those are on Sundays, and we'll probably most likely not be here. But who knows? We don't know our schedule. But last year, we didn't do post-game on Sunday games. So
real quick before we
except
go.
Except for that one day.
Tom Brady has retired again. Today, he says he's now retiring. He's going to officially do it and stay retired and make $700 million working for Fox. Quickly, who is the next baseball player that will retire that you will miss getting to watch?
I don't know if there's like...
Well, Miggy's all-time great. But
Miggy's probably number one. Cabrera's like, I was like, once... Like Griffey retired.
I just don't see him. We see Tom Brady all the time.
Yeah.
Like, so it's fun to watch Tom Brady.
The back half of his career at Detroit, and even when they were good, I didn't watch Detroit. So.
Yeah. I don't know if I really have one. Like,
it's different for baseball because, like, it's such a regional sport. Like, Cubs fans will watch the Cubs, and they'll follow what the other teams in the division are doing, but how many Cubs fans are consistently watching the Yankees or the Red Sox even?
I think Mike Trout's going to be up there.
Trout will be up there, but I don't see him that much anyway. I hardly see Mike Trout play. Like I know he's a great player, but because he's on the Angels, I just don't see him. I was going to say Clayton Kershaw.
Yeah. Kershaw's one, yeah.
That's one. You could argue he's been the best pitcher of a generation.
How
about Verlander? Verlander's
Scherzer.
Up there.
Yeah.
Sure. Actually, Scherzer, Mad Max, Mizzou.
They might all
Mizzou
be pitchers.
I
locally, it's Kyle Hendricks.
I got a young one that we're so far from this happening, thank God. But Julio Rodriguez is in one season has shown me so much. He is so exciting to watch.
Who's the shortstop on the Pirates?
O'Neill Cruz.
O'Neill Cruz. Joey Votto. Yeah. It would be like one. Joey Votto's a good choice. I was like, if we're talking about like young guys who are like already expecting to be like that, like
I could come up with a
none
list
of them are Tom Brady, obviously. No.
I could come up with a list of guys that I can't wait for them to retire if you want me to.
Well, a couple are already off that list.
Yeah, that's the good news.
Well, now, you know, I already decided that the new Cardinal that I'm absolutely going to loathe is Brendan Donovan. And it has a lot to do with that list that MLB Network came out with. But also, man, does that guy look like someone I went to high school with that I absolutely hated. So, can't wait to hate him. I already hate Harrison Bader, but even though he's on the Yankees, can't wait to continue hating him. Can't wait for him to finally retire, too. Again, I can come up with a whole list.
Colada said Mark Leiter Jr.
Yeah. Shane says Ohtani, but we're going to get to see a lot of him in a Cubs uniform, so plenty of games to see prior to his retirement, which will be difficult at that time. Want to point out that we continue our conversations from Cubs convention with some of the players coming up in Thursday's podcast, so you're not going to want to miss that. Make sure you subscribe to the YouTube page because that will be separate as a video as well in case you want to pull it apart that way. Justin Steele is going to be the big interview.
Yeah, we got Justin Steele on the, well, not technically here on the show tomorrow, but our interview from Cubs convention.
Sat down with him. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah, a lot
Justin
of fun.
Justin Steele refollowed me back on Twitter. Shout out to you, man.
Nice.
Appreciate you. Whatever I did to make you unfollow me before, I'm sorry. But I'm glad you're back.
It was probably all the Delmetrics talk. Probably. He's not a numbers guy. He just wants to go out and throw.
We'll see how long it lasts.
Don't forget, you don't want to miss the CHGO Cubs Diehards joining us for the first virtual happy hour presented by Goose Island tonight, 8 o'clock, 2 weeks away or less from pitchers and catchers reporting to spring training. Join our whole team, plus Diehards, virtual happy hour. Go to allchgo.com right now. Become a diehard so you can join in, drink Goose Island with us from your home, ask a few questions, make some comments. We'll crack a few jokes.
Crack
try
a few
to keep
beers.
Me awake.
You get to see Stucky in his element.
Keep me awake. I'm going to try and, you know, everybody's going to be virtually poking me.
Yeah.
What was that app that people used to poke people?
Facebook.
Facebook used to poke people.
Yeah, you had the poke. Yeah. I think you still can.
That was how teenage Cody flirted with girls.
Oh, boy. This is a good place before, you know, you end up in a breakup before the end of the night. This is a good place to stop this podcast. So hopefully we'll see you tonight, Wednesday night, 8 o'clock. Make sure you're diehard and then join that virtual group. Thanks for dropping. And all the information is at allchgochicago.com. Appreciate it. Thanks for dropping by the CHGO Cubs podcast presented by DraftKings. Until happy hour, make sure you fly the W. We'll be right back.